Welcome to Genomic Assays in the Real Oncology World, an audio program based on a clinical investigator roundtable exploring the role of genomic testing in guiding treatment for patients with advanced breast, colorectal, and prostate cancer. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. Our faculty for this program included Drs. Johanna Bendel, Emmanuel Antonarakis, Ian Kropp, and Andrew McKenzie. During the program, we also discussed the results of a survey we conducted of 77 general medical oncologists regarding their approach to multiplex genomic testing and the management of patients with metastatic breast, colorectal, and prostate cancer. To begin, we discussed a case from the practice of a community-based general medical oncologist. So I thought we could start out with really, I think, a signature case related to our topic today. This is sent in by a general medical oncologist in the community, a small community in Indiana. And here's the case. 84-year-old man with a history of metastatic castrate-resistant prostate cancer who received all standard therapies, leuprolide, abiraterone, enzalutamide, docetaxel, and finally cabazitaxel, which he was presenting with. At that point, he had a large pelvic mass, obstructive uropathy, renal failure, and hyperkalemia, and presented to the emergency room, called this oncologist. And at that time, they were saying in the ER, this man either has to get dialyzed or go to hospice. And of course, that's a pretty difficult decision in a patient like this. But as the doctor, the oncologist, was thinking about it and seeing the patient, he checked a liquid biopsy that he had sent 3 weeks previously and found some pretty interesting findings in it, specifically PD-L1 amplification, CD274. We'll talk a little bit about that. I've heard about MSI, of course, but supposedly this patient had both, which I didn't even know occurred. So one question the doc was saying is, how often do you see microsatellite instability to start with in prostate cancer? Another question was, now this man, because of his age and his tenuous situation, actually, amazingly, he recommended dialyzing the patient and started him on pembrolizumab, which he told me was kind of interesting to talk to the family because they thought he was going to head to hospice. But he explained what these findings were in the hope that maybe the pembrolizumab would help the patient. They went along with it. He was temporarily dialyzed. Now he's had one dose of therapy and he's off narcotics. So there's been no imaging, but he's had, clinically, he's improving. But anyhow, kind of an amazing case in terms of that. He also brought up the question, he used Pembro, but what about Ipi-Nivo, which we're hearing a lot about, we'll talk about today, MSI. But also, and I think this really starts to get into some of the complexities of dealing with patients and these kinds of assays, the liquid biopsy showed an ATM mutation. So he's saying, well, what about a PARP inhibitor in a patient like this? The liquid biopsy also showed an EGFR R1068 mutation. I've heard of exon 20 insertions and a few other weird ones, but I never heard of this one. So he wants to know, well, what about an EGFR TKI? And then the other question he had is, suppose the patient just had the PD-L1 amplification without MSI, would you still expect a checkpoint inhibitor? So, Emmanuel, pretty simple case, just kidding. But anyhow, really, this is what it's all about. Any thoughts about it?
Well, I've looked at a lot of genetic reports over the years, and this one is one of the most complex I've seen in a long time. And there's some interesting things here and some interesting things that don't really jive as well, which makes it even more challenging. The thing that jumps out at me is the MSI high designation, so that's there. But the paradox is when you look down that list, you don't see any mutations in the canonical mismatch repair genes. So there's nothing in MSH2 coming up, there's nothing in MSH6, there's nothing in MLH1, and there's nothing in PMS2. So yes, you're seeing the MSI high designation on the report, but you're not seeing the genomic mutation that supposedly gives rise to that.